A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. For if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." The Gospel of the Lord. It was asked of Thomas Merton, when he was once giving a tour of the Trappist Abbey of Gethsemane, what a bright man such as himself was doing holed away in a cloister. Merton's answer was simple yet very effective, cutting to the root of his contemplative vocation. He said, "I believe in the power of prayer." What we have today in the Gospel are examples of that very special type of power that prayer can manifest. It is interesting in that it is the only time in the Gospels where the Lord is actively involved in the withdrawal of life, in destruction, rather than integration. But even in these instances of disintegration, Jesus remains faithful to his inner nature as the representative, the embodiment of truth. This Markan excerpt is such a provocative passage and has been used to justify everything from forms of religious violence to facets of just war theory. With both the fig tree and with the money changers, Jesus certainly engages in violent actions. But to what end? Well, a cross-reference scriptural analysis would speak to the allegorical reference to the state of Jerusalem as a whole, and to the temple in particular, both being unready to receive the divine universal revelation and potent vitality of the God of Jesus. Such is the state of the fig tree, manifested anthropologically in the sick, hypocritical dynamic of the temple itself that coaxes Jesus' frustration. But this is a frustration born from an absence of lived truth, from the wasted potentiality lying dormant in the house and in the people of God. and it is here that we return to the notion of prayer. Jesus' explanation to the disciples is a wrenching effort of soul, a pleading for them to tap into their potential as children of God by totally aligning their heart and spirit with God. The image of the mountain, which is beautiful hyperbole, if not another metaphorical reference to the holy city, is to underscore the atomic, cosmic force that is always present, that love, as Dante had stated, that moves the sun and the other stars. It is the human being who is, as a theology professor of mine aptly stated, out to lunch. The power Jesus manifested with the fig tree, the power of conviction that led him to drive out the money changers, did not arise from human ingenuity or sheer will. Jesus is sign and symbol for the ineffable one, the one for whom Jesus reveals and mediates in the world, the one whom can be actually experienced interiorly by the apostles and all who surrender to the God of Jesus. How far does this power of prayer and belief extend? We see here, from the fig tree to the august temple itself, from the physical domain to the spiritual one, from the microcosmic to the cosmological. In this age of often justified rationality and secular emphasis, is there still room enough in our hearts to believe in the power of prayer? To what source do we turn when we strive to produce any type of fruit in our lives? To what source do we turn for our worship, our daily social and material commerce? Do we believe that mountains can be moved when they need to be? Or are we satisfied rearranging the dirt that constitutes our molehills? The power of prayer led Jesus all the way from the beginning of his ministry to his fateful end. Somehow losing that power, that divine connection, would have eradicated his conviction and compromised the arc of the Paschal mystery. But now, cosmically amidst us in the victory of the kingdom of God, Jesus desires through the Spirit to share this power. And the Paschal mystery is still very much being historically played out, from the hidden drama of monks and nuns cloistered behind walls to the impelled activists right in the midst of the most blood-soaked areas of our world. We all need this truthful, vital power. There are so many mountains yet to be moved, so many temples in need of purification. To whom shall we go?